Again, I want to welcome all of you. It's a pleasure to be here with you. Today we hope to reach a degree of clarification so that in all who have accepted the spiritual way of life, there is a firm foundation, so firm, so unshakable, that it prepares you to enter higher worlds than the one we know. Unless this foundation is established, we continue needlessly to suffer in duality, to move in non-creation, and to try to pursue a course that is destined to futility, and that is to try to live in two worlds. It cannot be done. You ultimately tear yourself apart. You cannot live in this world and at the same time in my Father's kingdom. And it is necessary to live in my Father's kingdom in order to find the peace, the freedom, the reality of being. And so we must look at several of the barriers, the deterrents that keep us from finding that peace we all seek. We want to multiply our blessings, and we must cease trying to do that. We want to improve the pleasures of our lifespan. And it's strange to learn that you must cease trying to do that. Until finally you say, what is there for me to do in this world if I'm to do none of the things that are happy things? And the answer is, you are to learn to step out of this world. There has never been another purpose to the Christ teaching or to the infinite way than to prepare you to step out of this world. It is not a teaching to teach you how to be happy in this world. It is concerned exclusively with making transition from man of earth to Son of God. And that transition does not come about by being pleasant to each other, by smiling and saying, I love you as my neighbor. That transition does not come about except as you are able to look at the truth, to understand it, to accept it, to believe it enough to live it. In short, unless you are learning to be God-centered, you do not approach the possibility of transition. Now we know that reincarnation is the established fact of everyone who passes out of the human scene, with only those exceptions who have reached the God center of their being. And inasmuch as something within us has chosen us to live in such a way that transition is attained without reincarnation, we learn to prepare ourselves completely by a total submission to the facts as they are. We cannot turn away and hope that when we turn back, the facts will disappear. We cannot depend upon a person to make a transition for us. We cannot depend upon any other human being on the earth to bring to us the peace and the real inner freedom that we seek. And so we must get tough with the human self we had been. We must look at this mortal and say to him and to her, the very existence of you is the denial of the allness of God. There is no you, there is no me, there is no person, there is no mortal, there is no human selfhood. We cannot dally with these things and talk about spiritual living or transition in the same breath. We must cease from man whose breath is in his nostrils. We must cease from the belief that in front of us and behind us and to the side of us there is a mortal being anywhere on the face of the earth. And as long as we accept the mortal being in front of us as being there, we are sowing to the flesh. And in that acceptance of the flesh, we have denied the omnipresence of spirit. Now, every day we deny that omnipresence, and every moment that we do, we continue to build negative karma. We turn away further from the very goal we allegedly are seeking. Some even say and think they worship God, but there's no way to worship God if you deny omnipresence, because God is omnipresence. And there's no way to believe in omnipresence if you exclude yourself. If you are not that omnipresence, again you are denying the allness of God, the allness of omnipresence. And so in our God-centering, there are basics. And none of them can be omitted. And there are taboos, and all of them must be omitted, and you must know them. You must know them just so clearly that instinctively you recognize when you are violating the truth, and you know when you are living the truth. Beside God, there is no self. Now, where does that leave all of us parents, mothers, fathers, sisters, and brothers, if beside God there is no self? Are you willing to say your mother is God, your father is God, your sister and brother are God? Or do you still regard them as human beings and you have certain responsibilities to them and certain things you must be aware of about them as human beings? Do you see how you must sell all that thou hast? You must come clean. There is no way to transition except through the pure at heart. And that requires the spiritual consciousness that says the infinite nature of God is all that exists, and there is no other. Now let's look at the method in which we learn to accept and live in omnipresence. You know, of course, that fear is an instantaneous rejection of the omnipresence of spirit. All fear is based upon the absence of the spirit. And the moment you find fear in some way dominating your makeup at any time, you are violating omnipresence. When you make human decisions, you are violating omnipresence. When you have doubts, when you have concerns, when you have ambition, when you have desire, you are violating the allness of the Spirit of God. It's as if you were becoming extinct. And that is precisely the requirement of accepting omnipresence. Me must become extinct. Me must be overcome. There is no me here to be rational. There is no me here to be healthy. There is no me here to be sick or poor. There is no me here to be successful or a failure. Me is the denial of the omnipresence of spirit. That is the nucleus of the denial. Me. You. Him. Her. This is the denial of omnipresence. Therefore, you must look to the invisible self behind me, behind you, behind him, behind her. And you must be conscious of the invisible self there. And you must maintain a continuity of awareness that the invisible self that is there is the only self that is there. You must become one with that invisible self in your consciousness. You must find your Father Self. And you must abide in your Father Self. And you must let your Father Self flow through your open acceptance, your open consciousness, from the invisible into the visible, always expressing itself as your being. You literally must cease from being man, from being woman, from being mother, from being father, from being brother and sister. You cannot be these things, for spirit is none of these things. Now, you cannot do this with people until you have lived it. And so the suggestion is that you go off a little ways, maybe 5 yards if necessary, and take yourself apart from people. And be still until you can know that the self of you is the Spirit of God, that the Spirit of God is the self of everyone you know, and that before they come into view, the self of them and the self of you are the one invisible spirit. That doesn't matter if it's a motorcycle policeman giving you a ticket, or it's a judge giving you a sentence, or if it's a lawyer on the other side arguing against you. Whoever it might be, whatever the news they bring to you or the attitude they bring to you, they are to be interpreted by you as your invisible self. The invisible Spirit of God that stands there is always your invisible self. And this God centering is vital before you can go any further in the spiritual path. If you cannot find a way to live it for a while, you cannot know the nature of how the Spirit imparts direction to you. This isn't something you can share with husband or wife. This isn't something you share with son or father. This is something you do so that to you, husband or wife, son or father, is accepted by you as your invisible spiritual self. We must come to understand the infinite nature of our being. Now, everywhere you look and feel a fear for the safety of another individual, or the health of another individual, or the condition of another individual, you have fallen into the violation, which is the denial of the invisible presence of God. There never is a second self. Do not accept one, because you will step out of the kingdom of God. The only self there is the Spirit of God. And if you are still determined or stubborn or unaware or unconscious of the truth that all that is present is the presence of God, you will continue to put labels on people and call them happy people or sad people, sane people or insane people, poor people or rich people. You will give them labels because this is how material sense operates. In our trust that the Spirit is all there is present, we are accepting our own identity everywhere. And you, if you wish to move into higher levels of consciousness, higher worlds, you cannot do it until you have established that all of the higher worlds are your own being. You can only move into what you are. And if you have not established that you are infinite self, there's no way you can move higher into worlds unknown to the human mind. And so we want to clear out all the debris. We want to see that fear must be recognized as part of the mind universe. Human decisions and human judgments are part of the mind universe. Suspicion and hostility are part of the mind universe. We want to recognize them so that we are not magnetized into them, so that we fall from grace. Now let's see then. There is one presence. And it is a universal presence. And we have no right to divide that presence into forms of flesh. We cannot separate the one presence. We must look past the forms of flesh. We must believe in the one presence as a fact, as a truth that never changes. And your knowledge of the one presence means that there is no second presence everywhere and anywhere. It matters not what forms of flesh you see, there is never a second presence. There is always one presence. You let the clouds of form go by, you remain conscious of the one presence that is present, and you are God-centered. And now all responsibilities and fears for any individual on the earth would be your refusal to accept that there is only one presence. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, where the one presence is understood to be present, liberty comes into visible manifestation. But if you are accepting the presence as present and another presence, another self, another being, another anyone, you are not God-centered. And you cannot open yourself for Spirit to reveal its presence through you. Now that's easy enough to understand. There is one presence. And now you must know that the one presence that is everywhere is you. That the presence is never divided. When we say that it individualizes, that doesn't mean it divides itself. It means that the presence expresses itself everywhere in its fullness. And when you learn that you are the one presence that is everywhere, you are learning what the Master meant when he said, I and my Father are one. Father always means source. I and my Father self are one self. Your source, your Father self, is the one presence. And the one presence is always functioning through everyone on the face of the earth. Your conscious awareness of that lifts you to where you can experience your source flowing through the outer appearance called form. When the consciousness you are in accepts your source and you are at one with your source, then the infinite being that you are flows through, expressing its pure divine consciousness as the outer appearances of your being. And the source of you, when you remain guard-centered, continues to express a continuity of grace, so that your God-centering and the continuity of grace become one and the same. Your source is always the Father within, is always the infinite self, is always your only being. And it is just this tip or this external being, this image of man or woman, that you must teach to accept the presence of your source as all that is present. Only your source is present. There is no other presence. Now, unless you go apart from the world and dwell in the knowledge that you are the source, and it is you that is flowing through the infinite, it is your infinite being that is expressing, and there is no other anywhere. Unless you give time to dwelling with this, you will unconsciously be reacting to forms and conditions and false powers that aren't there. And yet, it's so possible to know that when you are living in Source, one with Source, feeling the infinite foundation of Source, that you can easily recognize the illusions of time and space as they are presented to you and watch them quickly coming to a place of conviction within you that the presence of your own source is right where the appearance of the evil appears. And then you learn the great secret. This evil is not there. It is merely being presented there. And that's the big difference. It's being presented to you, and you can know it is not there, or you can accept it as being there, and your decision will be based upon where you are in your consciousness. A good rule of thumb in your living consciousness is that there is one presence, one life. It is always present everywhere, no matter what appears. It is always living itself. That one life is always maintaining its perfection. It is always maintaining its invisible form. It is always living. It is always the only power. That one life is always present everywhere. It is the presence, and it is your presence. And it is your presence even though someone else will appear to be there. Because the presence of you is the invisible presence of everyone. I and my Father are one presence. And the presence that is there where another individual appears, whether in sickness or health, is always perfect and not in sickness, always maintaining its perfection, invisibly present, awaiting only your recognition that one life there is being perfect. Now that is only the first step. You start everything with a knowledge of one invisible life. You don't count heads, and you don't judge appearances, and you don't back off from threats. All that is there, and that fact will never change, is the one invisible life of God, which is the life of you. And unless this is a permanent state of consciousness practiced again and again and again, there's no place to go. And so this today will be a reference point that we'll have to come back to throughout the year in your work. Come back again and again. Do you accept that there is one presence, one life, one invisible spirit? And it is being itself. It is maintaining itself. And beside it, there is no other. If that is not a major acceptance, you have no foundation to build on. Now then, I'm suggesting that you practice it again and again and again through every form of appearance that comes to you, whether it's close or far away. Presence of you is the invisible presence of the Father. You are one and the same. And that presence is everywhere, no matter what may appear to material sense. Now that fact will never go away. You may go away. You may turn away. You may ignore it. You may think you can bypass it. You may try to live without accepting it. You may even say, I understand it. But are you living it? Are you being that invisible presence? Have you accepted yourself to be the infinite invisible presence? Now that is only a preliminary fact to be accepted. It will never change. It will always be the truth. We're going to assume that you have practiced that in the past and will continue in the future, and there will come a time to you when this is a truth you will never violate, because instinctively you will have been anchored in it sufficiently to know that whatever denies it is a lie, a mirage. And then you can go to the second fact. Because there is one life, and it is I. And because there is one life and it is him and her, because that one life is the invisible life of all, and because there are no exceptions, that one life is there now, and this which comes to me as a form, as an appearance, as an image, as a condition, is not that one life. And therefore is a mirage. It can be a very healthy looking mirage. It can be a very sad looking mirage. But it is not that one life. And only the one life is there. Therefore I do not accept that there is a second life. That's your second point. You cannot accept a second life. Because you are accepting that there is one life, one presence, and it is divine. All mortal life to you is not acceptable. To you, there is no material life, there is no mortal life, there is no human life, there is no animal life, there is no life of nature. This was all right at one time, but we're talking now about that level which is preparing for transition. To you, there is no world. As long as there is a world, you are denying the presence of the kingdom of God. As there is one life, that is the kingdom of God. As there is one self, that is the kingdom of God. As there is one God, there is no second self anywhere. You do not accept heaven and hell. You do not accept two worlds. You accept that my life being the one life, and that life being the life of all, I am God governed here and now, and so is everyone, no matter in what form they appear, they are invisibly God governed. They may not know it, they may not show it, they may not accept it, but your job, you are the one moving toward transition. Your job is to live in the truth that God government rules its universe and there is no other present. So we have one life and one government functioning. And this is the acceptance then that the life of you is omnipresent and it is also functioning everywhere, regardless of appearances. It functions where your brother is, where your sister is, where your mother, father, daughter are, even though it may not appear to be functioning to human sense. You look past the veil of material sense. You accept the invisible government of God is present there. It is functioning. You cannot have omnipresence without having omnipotence there at the same time. Wherever the presence of the Spirit is, the power of the Spirit is. It may not be visible to material sense, but it is there. So you accept the power is where the presence is. You've got your second point. But if these are not established, you cannot go on to the third point. And so let's see what might be missing before you can reach this permanent conviction. Right where you are, you would not permit someone to say you are unconscious. You would stand them off tooth and nail if they said you were. You would deny it adamantly. You are conscious. Now realize that God is conscious right where you are. And God is conscious right where you see an invalid. God is conscious right where you see a thief. God is conscious right where you see a battlefield. God is conscious right where you see disasters on the earth. Everywhere God is conscious. Pin that down inside your consciousness. God is conscious. There is no place where God is unconscious. If you're accepting the one present life of God everywhere, it is a conscious life. It knows what is happening. And that consciousness, which is alive and aware of what is happening, has the power to maintain the perfection of its environment. Do not fall into the false belief that the consciousness of God, which knows what is happening and has the power to maintain the purity of what is happening, is permitting bad health, poverty, famine, ignorance, disease, mental aberrations, or anything of that nature. Do not think these things exist, or you are saying God is unconscious, or God, though conscious, does not have the power to maintain perfection. Come out of the false belief of believing what you see and what you feel and what you hear. To become God-centered is to look at all of the malevolence in the world, at all of the sickness, at all of the cunning, at all of the superstition, at all of the limitation and the lack, and to say that is material sense. It has no part in me. God is conscious there and not permitting these things. There is no one who is sick on the face of the earth. God is conscious and not permitting sickness. There is no one who is dying. God is conscious and not permitting dying. In the world of material sense, these things will appear to everyone. But to make transition, you must reach that consciousness where you do not believe that spirit has a second, and that spirit permits matter to either exist or to suffer. In short, to make transition, you cannot think in terms of spirit and matter. For matter is but the concept we entertain about spirit. Now, don't try to live in both worlds. You cannot live in spirit, and you cannot live in matter at the same time. You'll only crucify yourself. Take everyone you know out of the material universe. They're not in it. They never were. Put them back where they belong. Know them as they are. To worship God aright is to accept that God is spirit. Spirit is everywhere now, without a second. That is the omnipresence that you learn to accept. That spirit everywhere now is the essence of your mother, your father, your child, your brother, your sister, your wife, your husband. And it being an undivided essence, it is the same essence, the one essence, which is the essence of all who appear in the form that we see. Your consciousness rests in that essence. Until to you, omnipresence is your consciousness. You know that the essence of your spirit is the essence everywhere, and nothing can convince you that a form exists in the essence of your spirit. Nothing can convince you of materiality in the essence of your spirit. Everywhere you look, the form to you has no meaning, for the essence of your spirit is there. You are not a second self. And when you are not a second self, you will be the one self that is omnipresent essence. Now that omnipresent essence is the invisible kingdom of God. When it is you, accepted, when a good part of your day is spent consciously aware of this, you will find you're not living in two worlds. You're only living in the truth of your being. I am that invisible essence. And you don't have to explain away the appearance of form to anyone else. You do not have to feel their fear their ridicule because of your belief. You must consciously remain God-centered, which means you are the invisible essence of God everywhere, and there is no visible form that you accept to be your life, your being. And you don't waste time trying to develop the visible form. Your interest is to live in the invisible essence of your being as an everywhere self, knowing that this is I and the Father are one in consciousness. Source and I are one. Essence and I are one. And living in this invisible consciousness enables you to completely surrender the fears, desires, and ambitions for that visible form that you had called your own, knowing that you can trust your invisible self when you're consciously in it, aware of it, living in it, to perform everything that the visible form will appear to be performing. You can trust your invisible self to be the light that goes before the form, to prepare mansions in higher worlds. You can trust your invisible self because it is the omnipresent Spirit of God to contain everything it needs, so that you don't have to send the form out to get. You already accept it in your invisible self, knowing that the self will live itself, and that will appear as a projection of those needs into the visible. You learn to trust yourself, and you learn joyously to stand in yourself, so that for you the world has no more power to fool, to mesmerize, to project forms, images, and conditions. You are learning not only to accept omnipresence, but that accepting omnipresence means that it is you, your invisible self, that is omnipresence. The center of gravity doesn't rest where the form is. You won't do that from one Sunday to the next and say, I have it. You'll do that right up to the moment of transition. And every time you leave it, you'll find you're tricked into denying it. The minute you leave the conscious awareness of omnipresence, you're going to deny it. And there's nothing you can do about it. If you're not in it, you're out of it. And once you're out of it, you're in a completely different life stream. A life stream in which all of the opposites are constantly bombarding you through the mind universe instead of the soul universe. All of your rationalizing as a sensible human being, all of your normal reactions, all of this is forfeited for a higher level of being. Now we could suppose that you had accepted this and had lived with this for a sufficient time, so that you could readily turn to anything that came to you, knowing, but there is only one presence, and it is the presence of God. What is this? You could measure everything against that truth. And the speed with which you can make this measurement would be dependent upon how long and faithfully you have dwelled in the knowledge that you are the invisible essence of the universe, that there is only one and there is no other. Then you could readily meet things and restore your consciousness instantly to where it belongs, so that you malpractice no one, and that you do not insult the perfect power that is ever present of your own true being. Now we know about being the Son of God. Now we want to find the Father Self and know that is I too. I'm not only the Son of God, I am the Father Self. I, the Son, and I, the Father, are one. And that Father Self is your infinite self, just as the Son is the expression of your infinite self. Always the outer and the inner are one and the same. Cease ye from the visible, physical self that breathes human air. There isn't any. And learn that your invisible self is already complete. That all that yourself ever was, it is now and ever will be. You can never be more than yourself already is. Now, I know it's fun to go on a vacation. I know it's great to get out on the golf course. I know it's great to get a ship and travel. It's marvelous to be financially secure. It's wonderful to swim in the ocean. There are many great joys in this world. And nobody said that you should not have them. You don't have to sacrifice a single thing that is joyous. What we're talking about is to develop the consciousness of omnipresent spirit as yourself. It'll get you out on the golf course, it'll get you on an ocean cruise, but it'll do far more than that. It'll bring you to that peace which comes only from the knowledge of that self which is always perfect. It'll do more for you than the police department or Scotland Yard for protection. It'll do more for you than a grove of orange trees. In other words, it knoweth your needs. And the it which knoweth your needs is yourself. And without yourself, this human form can just go on enjoying itself a little while longer, but that's all. Without yourself, you have the mirage without the substance. What we're looking for then is ourself. And ourself is already everywhere. It doesn't have to go there to get there. And we're trying to become so superbly anchored in ourself that the continuity of grace that flows into the outer is nothing more to us than a sign that we are living not in two worlds, but that we are consciously living totally in consciousness in the fullness of our own total being. We're not going to go into the kingdom of God to make transition into it We're going to live in it and continue in it. In the revelation of St. John, the 20th chapter, the 6th verse, we are given the very summit of the purpose of the Christ message. And that is what we have come to now in this class. Everything we have done has been honing itself toward that purpose. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. When you met up with this phrase several times in the last few years, you may have been impressed by it. It may have spurred you on to certain spiritual achievements. And now comes to a point where it is a challenge and a demand. We are here to develop living principles of the first resurrection. The second death is that reincarnation which we call human death, when we pass out and then come back. Always coming back in through birth, which is the first death. Through that birth we come out of spiritual identity, and then we come into the second death, or the death of the physical form that came in through birth. The first death is birth, second death is our human death. Where we should be is in the spirit. Blessed and holy is he who takes part in the first resurrection. If we are to give meaning to the teaching, we are to take part in the first resurrection and the principles of attaining and participating in the first resurrection are that the will of the Father cannot function in a human being, in a second self, in a me. The will of the Spirit can only function in the Spirit. And those who have attained at least to the level of knowing that only transition is spiritual success, they are the ones who are making every principle of the first resurrection their daily Bible. To them, omnipresence is the only way they can live. And all that follows from omnipresence is the power of that omnipresence. The living consciousness, which knows all that is within itself and permits no evil. And from it, the total God-centering, which enables you not to live in a division or in two worlds, but consciously to know that myself is the invisible kingdom here and now, and as I remain conscious of the invisible consciousness of God as being present as my consciousness, present as the only consciousness on the earth, no matter what fragments of consciousness show forth, I am bearing witness to the One, abiding in the One, being the One. With that as your daily foundation, you will find invisible worlds opening up. Kind of like when you're told you can't eat candy because it's bad for your teeth, or somebody takes away something you like to have. That's how it seems sometimes when we have to talk about living in the invisible self. We think our candy is being taken away. But we're being given the nectar of heaven in exchange. And if we have eyes to know that, then we're very willing to make the trade, almost impatient to get on with it and to do the work that is required, so that everything that hits your consciousness that is not motivated by the invisible essence is quickly seen to be a fraud, a non-existent, requiring no attention of yours, for it simply is not there. And then you are faithful to yourself. You are finding the way to transition. We'll pause a moment. Let's take a few minutes for a rest and then come back.